You're doing it on the wrong week, I want to say, just to confuse me. It doesn't take a lot. Bless you. Oh, well, we bless the youth and the youth leaders as well. Go on, David.
Bless you, Doug.
Thank you, fella. Father, we thank you for David. We pray a real blessing upon him. Lord, you would use him mightily. We thank you for all the gifting. And we thank you, Lord, that you've got a word to speak to us. And we pray, Lord, you would use it mightily and help us to hear what you have to say. That, Lord, you would touch us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. It's great to be here again. It really is. And I just love worship. I just love to worship. And I tell you, there's some places you can go, you can't find it. And other places you go, it just lives there. And this is one of those places. Thank you, Kerry. You're blessing the socks off me this morning and blessing the socks off God. Isn't it good to worship? Good. And a lot of my main points have already been prayed or mentioned, so I think God's on the case this morning. How are we all? Good? Yeah? Good, good, good. It's great to be here, it really is. Oh, Father, I thank you. In churches like this, Father God, where all the glory goes back to you. Lord, I just thank you. People come together to put you first. Father, I was challenged driving out, Lord, about... I wonder how many people are out jogging this morning. And Lord God, as many more than it would have been 20, 30 years ago, because they would have been going to church. Lord, I pray, Lord, turn that around. Lord, this is the place where true health and vibrance is found. Our Lord, thank you. Amen. I just really did feel the sense of God as I came in this morning, and I walked in a little bit late to the prayer meeting, but there's such a presence of God just sat there. I'm going to encourage you all to get out to the place of prayer. I'll tell you. Anyhow, God is good. One story you've most probably heard before, but I'm going to say it again. There was a young man. He appeared in court. No, it wasn't me. Well, not on this occasion. And he was found guilty of a terrible crime. He was convicted of this crime, and the harshest punishment of all was placed upon him. It was a fine that this young man could... Oh, I could hear me. Anyhow, this fine, this young man just couldn't pay it. Even if he lived the longest life ever, he would never, ever pay it back. The judge stood up and he passed the sentence. But then he did something quite remarkable. He took off his wig, he took off his gown, and came down to where that young man stood, and he paid the fine for him. You see, the judge was this young man's father. It's a story I'm sure you all equate with, that you must have heard somewhere. But it illustrates what God has done for you and me. We were that young man. But God left heaven and paid the price for us. Last time when I was with you, we looked at Hebrews chapter 2, and friend Adrian said to me this morning, are we still there? I said, yeah. He said, are we moving on? I said, no, we're still there. He asked if Melchizedek turns up today. No, nope, not for a few weeks, I don't think. But I think Adrian knows more about Melchizedek than I do, so I think you're well on the ball here. But these were the words that I read. Just the first four verses of chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received its just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. And last time I spoke to you about God being the God of justice, God being the God who is righteous, and justice and righteousness have to be fulfilled because it's part of his very nature, isn't it? It's part of who God actually is. And I emphasize that we need to keep close to the Word of God, that we don't drift away. And if we drift away, then the Word and our testimonies become blurred into the society that we live in. But this morning, I want to move on in some ways, but stay where I am in that same verse. How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? In salvation, we have the justice of God. We have the righteousness of God. We have the right standing of God moving amongst his people. But I want to pick up three attributes of God to encourage us all this morning. Three attributes that he shows in the midst of this great salvation that we have. Salvation from what? Salvation from separation from him. Salvation from eternal hell. Salvation from walking this life on our own, being influenced by the things of the evil one. I want to pick on something, and I was sitting there, and Nikki would be with me on this one, thinking back to many years ago in this place when we had the dubious pleasure of looking after the youth. And Joe Turner and Richard Odie, do you remember what they used to say all the time? Grace and mercy, grace and mercy. Anything we said something about Jesus, they would go, grace and mercy. It was quite a laugh. Do you remember it? I remember it well. Oh my goodness, they were great days with the young people. But I want to talk about grace. I want to talk about mercy. I want to talk about forgiveness, and I want to talk about what they are all wrapped up in this morning. Remembering the letter to the Hebrews was not just for the Jewish believers who came to recognize the Messiah. It wasn't just for those who were being called. It's for us today as well. So whereas maybe last time I felt a little harsh, concentrating on how God is righteous, and he is just, I want to look on the parallel side, as it were, to what it is. I'm going to encourage you to read the rest of the chapter at home. We could look at it now, and it tells us how Jesus became flesh, how God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He laid aside his divinity. He laid aside his godness, if there is such a word. He laid aside all that he was in heaven with the Father to be like you and me. It says he has become flesh and dwelt amongst us. Why did he do that? So he might know everything that we know. That he might feel everything that we feel. That he might feel our joys, our disappointments, those times of great worry and fear, those times of contentment. It says Jesus knows all of our feelings, all that we go through. Have you thought what a task that would be? It's incredible, really, because you are so different to me, and I am so different to you. Why? Because we're individuals. And there's things going on in your life that I will never experience, but Jesus has experienced it. There's things going on in my life that I will experience that you may never experience, but Jesus has experienced it. He's experienced it all, and it's mind-blowing, really, isn't it? You know, I might not know the pain of childbirth. Some of you ladies know that. But Jesus can join in you in that. Jesus knows your every situation. And he's been there. As they said, been there, done that, and he's got the t-shirt. He's where you are. Oh, all that we can go through, all of our experience, God sent his son to in flesh to dwell upon us with mankind, with you and me. The God of justice, the God of righteousness, who set the judgment for sin, and that judgment for sin is separation, eternity in hell, and walking this life without him. But he sent his son to walk with us, to talk with us, to be with us. And he would carry the guilt of that sin if we give our lives over to him. And that's what I mean by salvation this morning. It's much more than that, and even more. So three key elements this morning. There's obviously more, but just want to concentrate on three this morning. And the first I want to look at is mercy. What do you think mercy means? Come on, this is where audience participation, please. Explain to me mercy. What is mercy? He's feeling sorry for the preacher when you don't know, you're waiting for you to say something. No. What is mercy? What should happen, and then it's passed over, it's forgiven, put to one side. Is that what you're saying? Roughly. Okay. That's good enough for me. Well, I looked up in the dictionary. It put it like this. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. It's the one who has the power to inflict or to bring judgment and yet shows compassion or forgiveness. Mercy might look like forgiving someone who has wronged you, or helping a neighbor in distress, or simply showing patience and kindness when you have the power to do otherwise. Showing patience. If you read the old Bibles, it's a word called long-suffering or patience. Being patient with somebody when you should react. Passing over what they have done that they might not feel any pain. But the Bible dictionary, I've got two big dictionaries at home, an ordinary one and a Bible one. The definition in that is God's compassionate, undeserved kindness that withholds punishment, forgives sin, and acts to relieve suffering. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to say it again, it's so good. God's compassionate, undeserved kindness that withholds punishment, forgives sins, and acts to relieve suffering. This is rooted in God's very nature. This mercy, this compassion, this forgiveness is in the very heart of God, of who he is. It's who he is. And as recipients of God's mercy, we should be grateful. For we deserve an awful lot. But God forgives. God is merciful. You might be knocking this. You know, I'm a very complex person. My wife will tell you that. Those little foxes come along and keep reminding me of things I've done wrong in the past. And I'm glad it's not only me, Alvin, that God tells to shut up. I thought it was just me. But those little foxes say, oh, remember when you did that? But God's mercy says, I've forgotten that, so why haven't you? Lay it down, put it aside. Then I'm only saying that this morning because I just get the sense there might be somebody who's beaten themselves up this morning with something that has plagued you for so long. It keeps reoccurring and coming back up. Join with God and chase those little foxes away. God has forgiven you in that. We must learn to forgive ourselves. Just a word for somebody there this morning. Compassionate, undeserved kindness. As we consider last time, God certainly is the God who has power. He has authority. He has the right to inflict punishment on those who sin. Look throughout the Old Testament, there will be people there coming under the judgment of God. But now in Christ Jesus, we have forgiveness. God has shown his mercy. And if that doesn't deserve an hallelujah, I don't know what does. God has shown his mercy to you and to me. Once we were dead in our trespasses, sin, but today he's made us alive in Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I like hallelujahs. Yeah. Praise his name. We read in the scripture that it says they got what they deserved. But God's mercy today tells us that we do not get what we deserve. We deserved punishment, casting aside. But he has loved us and drawn us close. Here's a quote from a textbook I found. Mercy describes the divine attribute of God's nature. Ephesians 2, he is rich in mercy. Samuel 2, his mercy is great. His mercy is revealed in the actions he takes to relieve suffering, to demonstrate his faithfulness, his steadfastness, his patience, his long suffering. God's mercy can't be earned. We can't do anything of ourselves to actually deserve God's mercy. But he freely gives it out of loving kindness. Even when people are unworthy, even when we don't deserve it, he keeps pouring it out. Today, church, you are a people living in the mercy of Almighty God. Free from guilt, free from the punishment, surrounded by his love. Will God's mercy ever fail? No, because Psalm 136 says his mercy endures forever. And so let's live in that mercy. And as he loves us and shows us mercy, we too should be a people who give mercy. That's not so easy all the time, is it? There are those people who have done something to us, who deserve a clip around the ear. But God said, show them mercy. I love that scripture. It says, you know, if we show his love, his mercy, his grace, and all of those things upon our enemies, it heaps piles of coals upon their head. It turns them round. It actually makes them stop and think. So, when Sister Sandpaper rubs you up the wrong way in church, show mercy. They might just be having a bad day. She might have just had some bad news. Be merciful as God is merciful to us. We have to reflect his mercy. God's told us this. He has shown you, O mortal man, what is good. This is a scripture that has really been part of my ministry for goodness knows. From the start, I think. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Let's remember about being merciful. And I'll be merciful and leave a few notes out because I heard you had a church meeting coming up. So, unless I'll be merciful and carry on so you won't have time for the church meeting. I don't know which is the right way to go. No, seriously. Be merciful, for your Father is merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Mercy is not only showing about forgiveness, but it's actually about practical compassion, helping those in need. It's working it out. When I pulled up in the car park this morning, there's a fellow in this congregation this morning who was very rude to me. He cried out, "Oh no, not you again." But I'll be merciful and won't tell you it was Adrian. I forgive you, brother. But it was in jest, of course. Of course it was in jest. But, yeah, I won't hold that against you. I won't take the only Jaffa cake because you're stood behind me and withhold it from you. I will show you. Yep. Be merciful. Don't withhold something just because somebody's upset you. Give them all that God has given you. God doesn't withhold anything from you. Do you know that? Well, that's incredible, isn't it? Isn't it incredible? Yeah. Isn't it great? There's no mercy, there's no naughty seat in the kingdom of God. Else we would be sat in it all the time. Mercy, as the young boys used, the young men used to say, grace and mercy. Now grace. What is grace? What's the difference between mercy and grace? They're very closely related and yet they are different. They're one and the same and yet individual. Mercy withholds punishment that we deserve. Mercy withholds punishment that we deserve. Grace gives us the good that we don't deserve. Mercy withholds, grace gives. Also in there, obviously, forgiveness, and we'll look at that maybe a little bit later. God repeatedly forgives his people out of his steadfast love. The Psalms are full of scripture saying that. But both grace and mercy flow out from the love of God that he's got for you this morning. If you don't leave this place knowing you're loved by God, then I've missed the mark here this morning. Because every one of you should leave this morning knowing that God is for you and not against you. That God loves you. Even though you feel you don't deserve it, God says, "I still love you." So I really don't want to miss the mark this morning. In Scripture, grace is shown, it refers to God's unearned favor and kindness towards people. It's a free gift from God, extended not because we're righteous, but because we're not. His grace is not given to us because we dress smarter than the next person or we're wiser than the next person, we're more holier than the next person. Grace is given because God gives it and we don't deserve it, but he gives it. No matter who we are, high, low, the grace that God will show you, it's the same grace he will show the king, King Charles. To the richest, to the poorest, God's grace knows no boundary and no limit. It reaches out to all. It's shown through compassion. Shown to those in distress or in grief. Grace is shown to those who need it And as mankind, we needed grace of God. Even in my dictionary, grace, even in the secular dictionary, this was, it's given as primary to an aspect of God's character. Even the world sees that only grace comes from God's character, from his nature. Yes, it talks about the odd comment about people moving graciously, gracefully backwards and forwards like a ballerina. But its first statement was, this is something given by God through kindness and compassion. Unearned favor, free gift, not because we deserve it. And I'm sure you've heard the old acrostic, grace being God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's meaning that God has given and will give because Christ has paid the price for the guilt of our sin. Because the price has been paid that he can show grace. Christ's sacrifice upon the cross has brought grace into your life. Grace talks to us about the generosity of a superior giving freely to one of a lower standing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Grace transforms us. Grace changes us. It transforms us. It's not a theological, just a theological concept that we can write down in a book and study and think about. Grace actually transforms our lives because it provides forgiveness. It restores relationship, not only with God, but with one another. If we show grace to one another, our relationship will be restored. It will be brought closer. We can show grace to others. Not that we are more superior than the other person. It's because we are thinking about them before we're thinking about ourselves. God's riches at Christ's expense. It transforms us. It helps us to live a self-controlled life. It helps us to walk uprightly and to live a godly life. Grace functions as a daily stand in our daily life, as a stronghold, as a support in our daily lives. Sustaining power. Grace offers hope. It brings spiritual strength. Check this out in 2 Corinthians 12 and Romans 5. It's there. Grace strengthens us. So, grace in the Bible is God's unearned, unending favor and kindness, rooted in his character because it's who he is, revealed through his action and fully expressed in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. It's a gift that saves, sustains, transforms, demonstrates God's love for humanity, even when undeserved. Understanding grace involves both recognizing it as both a divine attribute, but it has to be a practical reality in our lives also. We are called to be more like Jesus, aren't we? Aren't we? Was Jesus full of grace? Was he full of mercy? Well, there we go. That's right. And walking alongside those is forgiveness. God has the power, the intention, and the strength to forgive. Forgiveness. Went to the dictionary again. To forgive, to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone or something for an offense, flaw, mistake. No longer feeling angry about those we wish to punish. To stop feeling angry, resentful. I'm sure like me, there's been something in your life that's really hurt you deeply. That in the natural we can't get over. I had my best friend, when we were in the Plymouth Church together, we started a football team. And we actually got into the league as well. We didn't win many games, but we were in the league. But one day in training, I don't know what happened, but we had an almighty argument. He did something that made me so angry. And this was my closest friend. So angry I couldn't talk to him. So angry I couldn't even look at him, and let alone talk about him. Funny enough, his name was Dave as well. So, yeah. And I was furious with this guy. And I had to go to God and say, "Oh Lord, change him for goodness sake. He's such a wombat. Oh Lord, do something with him." But God spoke to my heart. And yes, I was in the right. Dave had done wrong. He had hurt me deeply. But you know, the next time we came together in the training session for the football, I went up to him, hugged him, and I said, "Dave, I'm sorry." He said, "What for?" I said, "For feeling angry against you." He said, "Why are you angry?" I said, "Well, you did this." "Oh, I didn't mean that." But you know, forgiving him set me free. Forgiving him set me free. And that's what forgiveness does. It sets you free. And God has set you free. All of those things that weigh down on you, all those things which maybe you've blotted your copybook, as they used to say, God has wiped these pages clean. And they're not just forgiven for here and now. "Oh, all right, Adrian, I'll forgive you because what you said this morning. But just wait till I come next time. But you just wait till I come next time and I'll get in first." No, that's not forgiveness, is it? Yeah. Lord, forgive that thought. No, for God forgives and he forgets. That is the beauty of it. He doesn't store it up for later to remind you. When you get to those pearly gates, when you come into the presence of God, he won't say, "Come on in, Adrian. You're a great guy, but do you remember when?" No, he won't say that. Because when God forgives, he also forgets. And we should be the same. And I can tell you something, it's not easy. But it is possible. Forgive and forgive. Forgive and forgive. Releasing others from a debt or guilt of sin. God's grace is about restoring relationship. He's forgiven us. He's forgotten. He's put it to one side. Forgiveness in the secular world is, "Okay, we'll just move on from here." God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness actually says it's as if it never happened at all. There is no stain on your copybook anymore. You are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Everything wiped clean. We must remember confession and repentance in this. We mustn't think it's just take, take, take. We must also remember there is repentance. What is repentance? "I'm sorry I got caught out." No, it's not. It's sorry. "Lord, I'm sorry, and I'm going to do my utmost not to do it again. Try my utmost not to." That's what repentance is. So we must come with confession and repentance to know the forgiveness of God. The day that you came to Christ and you prayed the sinner's prayer, you asked him to forgive those things.
forgiveness begins with God. Human sins offends God's holiness. It creates separation, but through Christ's sacrificial death, God removes the penalty of sin. Grace, mercy, forgiveness. I'm going to just conclude, I think. I've got a few more notes, but I think I'll just conclude here. But in the midst of all that I said, grace, mercy, forgiveness, they're encompassed in one thing, God's love. God's love for you. God didn't send Jesus because I was pretty clever, because I'm not. He didn't send him because I'm the best looking in the room, which I could be. I'm sorry, walk humbly with your God, which I'm not. So does God, hallelujah. That's what, thank you, Adrian. I appreciate you. Yeah. So, mercy. Be merciful to one another. Be kind to one another. Be compassionate to one another. Grace, show the grace to be able to forgive and to forget and to move on with each other. Not walking at a distance, but walking hand in hand. This is all encompassed by the love of God that he wants to show to you, he wants to show to me, that he is showing to us. Forgiveness transforms life. Grace transforms life. Mercy transforms lives. And God is a God who wants to transform our lives, that we will be more like him, that we will show his love wherever we go. God reveals his love through all of these things. And God has done this because he loves you so much. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to walk closely with you because he cares about you. He isn't doing it because he's earning brownie points, because he can't earn brownie points because none can measure up to him. He's not doing it to make himself feel good. He's doing it that you might know good and know, walk with him. All expressed from the very nature of who your God is. Why? We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. So why has God chosen to show his grace, mercy, forgiveness towards you? It's more than just because he created you. Oh, I made them, so I've got to look after them. No, it's more than that. It is more, he wants you to know him, and that you might praise and worship him. Not because he needs your praise and worship, but he wants to receive your thanks. Not that he needs it. My mother-in-law went through a stage, bless her cotton socks, where she was always at the grandchildren saying, "You never said thank you. You came round, you had your tea, you never said thank you." She wanted some form of response. Surely the response we come to our God is not because we have to, it's because we want to. I know scripture says we love God because he first loved us. It's true. But I love God because God deserves to be loved. Anyhow, I'm wandering away again. He's our Father. He's your Father. He loves you. So in that, he's going to show his grace, mercy, forgiveness, patience, kindness, compassion. But let's keep short accounts with him. When we know we've hurt him, come in repentance and say sorry. When I hurt my wife's feelings, it hurts that I hurt her. Does it make sense? So I go and say sorry. Even while we were yet sinners, far away from God, he loved us. sent his son to take our place. He paid the price with God's mercy, love, compassion, forgiveness, attendance. Oh, he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is all of these things and so much more. Let's love him as he deserves to be loved. Let's just pray a minute. Lord, forgive stumbling words. But Father, I thank you for reminding me this morning of what you've done for me. Oh boy, oh Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but you are gracious, forgiving, and generous. And so, Lord God, I will say, how great thou art. Amen. Amen. Bless God.
We're going to finish this morning with singing, What a Faithful God Have I.
Theme, grace. I spoke on it the other week, and grace and mercy for each one, and help us to be full of grace and touch others with that. Forgiveness. Yes, we do find that sometimes it hurts. But it's then forgiveness. Forgiveness is then for us not always to forget, but so that it doesn't have any impact upon us for the rest of our lives. You can say, that's it, done, finished. Yeah, bless you. Thank you for the worship, Kerry. The priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I think we might have the children. Amen.
Amen. Also over to you, Bob.
One minute, let's see if they're coming through before we totally close. Are you coming through? I said, no, not for the cake. I love to see the children. Children, youth, occasionally adults. Are you going to say something?
That's
George's. We like George. Hello. Are you going to tell us something?
We have made everything that we've done, and so.
You've done everything entirely. Very good. You want to say something? Nope.
No.
Perhaps.
Jesus loves everybody.
Oh. That's the answer. Say something? No.
Can you remember what we've been learning about today? That Jesus loves everybody, even if we're tall like me. Pam said she's old, but she's not really. Old like Pam. Everybody's different, but Jesus loves everybody, doesn't he? So we need to be like him and include everybody too, don't we? And they've made lovely people to give to their families. And bookmarks to show people that Jesus cares for them.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Lovely. I do love that when they come through. And we can go through and have refreshments when you're ready. Right. And then we've got a meeting in about, well, what? It's supposed to be 15 minutes. Okay. God bless you all. I'll give this.
Thank you.